This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome on into First Take. We are live from the eighth wonder of the world, the Caesars Superdome, getting ready for a 7:15 kickoff between the Saints and the Denver Broncos. Thursday night football, like I said. Just a few things going on today, Jeff. You know, Saints trying to snap a losing skid. Oh, Drew Brees getting inducted into the team's Hall of Fame. Oh, and your former coach that brought the only Super Bowl to town, Sean Payton, is back.
Yeah, what day is it? It's Thursday? Oh, okay.
I know, it's hard to keep track of things. We were kind of joked on the Inside Black and Gold podcast, getting ready just for broadcasting for us this week was so rushed, and I can't even imagine what players are going through, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, it was like they did walkthroughs on Monday and Tuesday, and that's kind of what we did, too. It was like you don't have time to really think about anything. You just kind of go, try to get to Thursday and survive, and then you get that mini bye, and you kind of figure out where you are at that point. But, yeah, here's a number. Here are two numbers that will tell you exactly what these two teams are, right? Last week, the Saints allowed 51 points to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, right? Last week, the Broncos lost to the Chargers in a game where there was a combined 49 points. I'm sorry, 39 points.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the game, right? The Broncos can't score. The Saints can't stop anybody. Something's going to have to give. Someone's going to have to figure that one out.
Yeah, it's amazing to think that we would think that the calling card of this Saints team was the defense. Obviously, that has not been the case recently in these matchups. But, man, oh, man, those Denver Broncos have been stout against the scoreboard, but not so much offensively. They've had issues putting points on the board, and we hope that obviously continues into tonight.
Yeah, Bo Nix, you know, 61% completions, 1,082 yards, 5 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. I think he's been better lately. Right, I think he's made some plays with his legs. He is mobile. He's a guy that the Saints are going to have to figure out how to contain a little bit. But he, you know, you've gone back to back weeks against two of who I would consider better quarterbacks in the league in terms of extending plays, scrambling, finding guys on that secondary route. You know, Pat Mahomes, I would say, is the best in the NFL.
Absolutely, hands
Baker,
down.
Baker is elite at that as well. I don't know where you'd put him relative to some of the other quarterbacks, but you know, those guys are just frustrating to play because they're always keeping their eyes downfield. They're not running. They're not taking, you know, they're not just taking the 3 yards in front of them because they see a lane. They're kind of extending and forcing you to do your job. I don't think Bo Nix is really going to do that. I think Bo Nix is either going to be in the pocket scanning the field or he's going to be trying to run. I don't anticipate that you'll see him, you know, with that secondary play a lot. So I think that works to the Saints' advantage if you can tackle. And that's kind of been the issue.
A little
for
bit
the
of
Saints.
An issue as well. We've saw that stat. Statistic.
You got it. I believe in you.
I can get it out eventually. Yeah. Of what is it? 3 straight or 4 straight games with double digit missed tackles.
It's at least 3, and I mean it depends where you look. Some people, right. There's different, you know, statistics in terms of what's a missed tackle. I usually go to Pro Football Focus. I think they had 13 against the Chiefs in Week 5 and 15 against the Bucs last week.
Yeah, I do remember seeing the number, unfortunately, kept getting higher than the last 3 or 4 games.
Yeah, and that's the frustrating thing because you hear from, you know, you talk to Joe Woods, it's like, hey, our focus this week is tackling. It's getting off the field. It's making these plays. And then you go out and you have a worse tackling day. So, I don't know, your emphasis, like, I think you have to re-emphasize how you emphasize things, right? Because clearly that emphasis didn't work. But we talked about this earlier in the week. Like, I don't know how much physically you can do to actually change that. Like, these guys know how to tackle. Willie Gay knows how to tackle. Lonte Taylor knows how to tackle. These guys, they've done it before. It's not like they've suddenly lost the ability to do that. It's about technique. It's about, you know, I think there's been a little bit of hero ball going on the last 2 weeks. Everyone's trying to make a play, and they're not doing the simple things right. Like, just the fact of, like, hey, the first guy wraps him up. The second guy is the one that punches it out. Not everyone running in trying to punch the ball. ball out, and as Chris Godwin just bounces off a couple defenders and goes 55 yards for a back-breaking touchdown in that game. Like that's the type of thing that can't happen. So, you know, I mean, a short week, maybe that helps. Maybe that's kind of like you get those, you have those kind of come-to-Jesus meetings, and everyone comes out and gets another chance to do it the right way.
Looking at our LCMC health update, Jeff. LCMC Health, 8 hospitals, 1 promise of keeping you well. And we know that injury list for the Saints, quite extensive.
It's 18 players on it.
Out for this game, though. Cesar Ruiz, Rashid Shaheed, who was just also put on injured reserve, Pete Werner, and Chris Olave. So right there with that, Jeff, obviously your top 2 wideouts out for this matchup. Also doubtful. It was surprising to see this one with Derek Carr. I don't think there's any way he ends up, you know, trying to even suit up for this game.
No, I think it's kind of just like, hey, if you know, the unthinkable happened. But, you know, I don't think he'll be active. I think he'll be inactive. But I don't know. Quarterbacks are weird. Taysom Hill's also doubtful.
That one hurts for sure. I was hoping he'd be able to come back. But that rib injury, we know it's fractures.
Yeah.
So it didn't seem likely.
No, and I don't expect him to play. I think it was more like, you know, I don't know how much of this is. But, like, I think to a certain extent, you want them to have to account for him on a short week.
So, sure, right.
You know, maybe there's some gamesmanship going
on. And Peyton knows exactly what Taysom can do. So
now I don't know if the Broncos bought it. Like, why would they? If I didn't buy it, why would they buy it? But either way, you know, Shaheed's injury is frustrating because that's going to be, you know, obviously he's on injured reserve, so he's going to be out at least 4 weeks, possibly more. And Dennis Allen told us on Friday that he was going out to California to get kind of his options assessed. Probably going to need surgery. It's a meniscus issue. I think the question is whether you need to do like a full meniscus repair or a less intensive version of that. Either way, he's going to need surgery most likely. And so, you know, that's frustrating because he's been, you know, we talk about, oh, you don't have Taysom Hill. He's such a dynamic part of your offense. Rashid Shaheed has been another dynamic part of your offense in the sense of, hey, he's the guy who can go over the top. He's the guy who can make the defense have to you know, play deeper.
Right. Because, and obviously it impacts 2 special teams.
And and he had the punt return last week, so it hits you in multiple phases. Like that's a disappointing thing to see. And not even like beyond this week, like they're gonna have to figure that out next week, the week after that. You know, they signed Jermaine Jackson from the practice squad. I think he might be your punt return guy.
Yeah,
you
makes
know,
sense.
Oh, we talked to Darren Rizzi, and he said that they're planning to do kick return kind of by committee. And we've seen, you know, they've had a lot of people kind of working in there. That's the one I'm less concerned about. Punt return, you know, it could be Mason Tipton, it could be Cedric Wilson, but you know, I think struggled a little bit in this opportunities in the preseason.
A little bit, right?
Put the ball on the ground in the preseason finale. I haven't really seen Mason Tipton get a lot of punt return work, but that's why Jermaine was here primarily, because he's kind of that in that Deontay Hardy build of, you know, just this kind of, you know, scrunched up human who can make some guys miss in space. And that's what he did at Idaho really well. So they like him in that regard. He got hurt in the preseason, so they waived him, and then they brought him back a couple weeks ago. So hopefully he can be consistent, because that's what I worry about. You worry about, like, not just, hey, you're losing that dynamic return guy, but do you start seeing mistakes? Do you start seeing those punts? And obviously Rashid had a pretty bad mistake too, so it's not like he's infallible.
Perfect, right,
there.
Yeah.
I think Darren Rizzi said, hey, you know, Devin Hester put the ball on the ground a lot too, but we don't talk about those. We talk about the returns.
Exactly.
Every good returner has a few mistakes. But so hopefully Jermaine can be consistent there. You know, hopefully you don't start losing yardage because you're making the wrong decision on whether to field something, let it roll. Hopefully you don't put the ball on the ground, and maybe he can be a plus for you in certain situations, but that's definitely a blow.
Also questionable for tonight's game, Lucas Patrick, the center slash guard. And then popping up on the injury report late, Jeff, was defensive tackle Colin Saunders dealing with a back issue. He's also questionable for this matchup.
Yeah, that's never something I like to see, someone going on the injury report on a Friday. So we'll have to see. I'm curious about Lucas because he, you know, he was limited 2 days in practice. He was questionable going into last week's game. He didn't play, dealing with a chest issue that he suffered during that game against the Chiefs. So if you can get him out there, you at least have 3 of your starting offensive linemen that you went into the season with. You're definitely going to have your backup center in one way or another. I would expect it's Connor McGovern either way. And then right guard, I would think Landon Young. But, you know, this is a Broncos team that likes to pressure.
It
likes to bring pressure.
Sure, right.
And a lot of times they like to blitz. They're actually they have the highest blitz rate in the NFL. I think it's 41.8%. So Vance Joseph is going to bring the heat. And so it's going to stress your protection. It's going to stress rookie quarterback Spencer Rattler, who didn't handle the blitz particularly well last week. So hopefully you're going to have to – I hope you have a plan for it, because it's going to happen.
Looking at – you mentioned some of the roster moves there. Jermaine Jackson gets elevated to the active roster. Also, you had Rashid Shaheed going to injured reserve. The team also elevated safety Jonathan Abram and wide receiver Equanimeous St. Brown to the active roster from the practice squad. Definitely figured we'd see EQ on this, dealing with all these injuries at wide receiver. It's just – pretty ridiculous. Now you look at the top options for Spencer Rattler, and I guess you got to look at the positive side of it and go, hey, these are the guys he was working with in training camp.
Yeah, that's the
positive
silver lining,
right?
Is your backup quarterback worked with all the backup receivers a lot. That's not what you were hoping to have to talk about positively. But yeah, no, I have high expectations for Bub Means in this game. I think he's a guy that Spencer has a lot of trust in. And when you have trust in a guy, you're going to give him opportunities. So, you know, he's going to get chances today. Someone's got to go out there and make plays, and I think he's going to be the guy who gets a lot of the opportunities. Now, Equanimeous St. Brown, the last time we saw him, he was catching a really nice touchdown pass from Spencer Rattler in the preseason finale.
So that's duplicated.
There's clearly some level of, hey, you know, there's comfort throwing to these guys. Can they get open? Right? You don't have Pat Surtain out there. He's missing the game for the Broncos, so that's a bonus for the Saints. They don't have to go against who arguably the best cornerback in the NFL. You're going to have to get something done. I don't think you got to score a ton of points to win this game, but you got to sustain some offense. You got to keep your defense off the field.
Yeah.
And you got to put up a number. I don't know what number that number has to be, but you got to put up a number.
It feels like a 21 to 23 points is kind of safe in this, but you don't know. It's Sean, obviously, back in town.
Yeah, I mean, this could end up being a field goal game, which is kind of fascinating because it's going to end up being like a replay of the kicking competition of the last two preseasons ago with Blake Griffin going against Will Lutz. It'll be kind of funny if it comes down to one guy goes 4 for 5, the other one goes 5 for 5, and it's a 15 to 12 game. I don't think that's outside of the realm of possibility. Now, that would be pretty ugly game to watch if that's the case, but that kicking matchup is going to be kind of fascinating.
Jeff, unfortunately, Cullen has sent me this news from Adam Schefter. Update: doctors wound up repairing the meniscus in Saints wide receiver Rashid Shaheed's knee today and now faces 4 to 6 month recovery time. Per source, Shaheed was placed on IR and his season is over.
Yeah, that's what you were worried about. This is kind of a snake bit feeling for the Saints at this point. Like, you already had significant injury problems before this. This is on top of the heap. It's a bummer. And, you know, you don't have Olave this week. You hope he only misses one game, so you at least have that kind of wide receiver core.
Yeah.
You hope Bub Means can go out there and get something done, because you're going to have to rely on
him. Yeah, pretty wild to think about all the injuries this team's obviously sustained so far this season. We started out so much hope and promise with those first two games.
I still have hope, Steve.
You still have hope?
Don't talk about me like I don't have hope.
I'm glad you still have it, because to me, obviously, there's all the injuries that they've been dealing with from the offensive line. There's obviously some issues with the defense as well. And you just compound this now with some weapons on offense when you're trying to put up these points. It's making things so much more difficult for a rookie quarterback, much less Derek Carr when he gets back.
Here's the thing. We can sit here. We can be all, woe is me, this injuries. You can't possibly, you know, overcome all of these problems. Go win a game. Go win a football game. And then we can talk about everything else. There's no reason you can't go out there and win this game. Right? I think the Saints are still the better team than the Broncos in this matchup. I do. I genuinely believe that. You just got to go score points. And your defense has to go out there and play the way that you know they're capable of playing. And if you can win this game, get back to 3-4, you get a 10-day window, maybe you swing a trade. A guy like Mike Williams makes a lot of sense to me.
Right.
If the Saints wanted to go out there and you wouldn't have to spend a lot to go get him, you would have 10 days to kind of get that situation sorted out and go from there. But it all comes down to, hey, go win a game. Because if you don't win this game, nothing much matters anyway, because the season's going to start to spiral at 2-5. You got to get to 3-4. I don't care how you do it.
Right.
Show some pride. Go make some tackles. You know, play clean football. The last 3 weeks, you know, we can talk about Chris Olave and Rashid Shaheed being out. Each of the last 3 weeks, you have seen a procedural penalty by one of the two of those guys in critical moments, right? Against the Falcons, it was the go-ahead touchdown drive that the Saints overcame 1st-and-20 on. Against the Chiefs, it was a 3rd-and-8 in the third quarter that you completed a pass to Mason Tipton for a first down. It got called back. You ended up punting on that drive. It was a critical drive in the third quarter. You get points, different ball game. You punt, Chiefs take it over, right? Against the Bucks, 3rd-and-7. Third quarter, it's Rashid Shaheed this time, and it's on Spencer Rattler too. He's got to understand like the timing of that motion, but you call for an illegal procedure, wipes out a first down conversion to Juwan Johnson, and instead you end up punting. The Bucks take over and start taking control of that game. So play clean football, right? Like, the injuries are not preventing you from playing clean football. You got to go out there and do it.
Obviously, the problem, though, with that, too, is you have a lot of young, unexperienced guys coming
That's
in to take fill, and fill these roles.
That is true.
We're going to take a break here on First Take. Want to hear from you as well. 504-260-1870. Also going to get into our sound bank soon. Got Spencer Rattler, Bub Means, Mason Tipton, DeMario Davis, of course, Sean Payton, and the great Drew Brees, as he'll be inducted into the team's Hall of Fame. Have a special ceremony at halftime in front of all the fans here. And there's a curious request from Drew that we'll go over.
See how that goes.
And some learning that fans are going to have to do and be on point.
We'll go over it here.
Yeah, for sure. We're going to take a break. Be right back with more. So stay tuned here on WWL's First Take. Welcome back into First Take. Getting ready for Thursday Night Football coming up 7:15 on WWL and the Odyssey app. Turn down that sound. Turn up Deuce and Hoss, their call of the game this evening at, I was about to say 10 a.m. because I'm used to saying that for the Bud Light countdown to kickoff. But it'll be 5 o'clock. The Cajun Cannon will be joining us for the Bud Light countdown to kickoff as we get ready for the game between the Denver Broncos and the Saints. We talked about Drew Brees obviously going into the team's Hall of Fame big night. He's going to be coming out at halftime to be celebrated by the fans. And Drew has an interesting request of the Houdat Nation attending tonight's game. Cullen, hit it for me.
Drew Brees here. We have been able to experience some incredible things together in the Superdome over the last 18 years. But Thursday, game day, against the Broncos at halftime, we're going to do something that's never been done before. We are going to break out a chant that I know all of you know, but we are going to do it as one in the dome together. It's going to go like this. I'm going to grab that microphone. I'm going to look around, and I'm just going to say, one. You say, two, win. Or you, three, four, win. Some more. Five, six, win. For kicks. Seven, eight, win. It's great. 9, 10, win. Again, win, again, win, again, win, again. You know what time it is.
Listen, Drew.
You're making it very tough for us.
I'm all in when we get to win. I can say again, it's gonna be we're gonna have a hard time getting all the way to 10.
They have to put the board.
I think they're gonna have
video
to.
Board.
We're gonna need like
the words for us,
cue cards,
and maybe like the bouncing ball.
Maybe they can have like the sensations holding up the because it's
again,
gonna be
me you.
You, me, me, you.
What? Is that my turn? What?
We'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes. You know, that chant, I know the chant. I've never actually taken the time to learn the chant.
You weren't in the huddle?
No, I was not. I actually never, you know, a lot of times I didn't understand what they were saying. Now it makes sense. I didn't know they were saying for kicks. I thought but we'll see how that goes. Now, I'm very excited for that halftime experience. I'm just not sure how that's going to go. Well, hopefully people have been studying. The Saints did send out a study guide for the chant with your lines and his lines. You can go find that on social media.
Put it on your phone and get ready.
Yeah, so get in there. Get in there. It'll be really awkward if everyone's silent.
The other thing, obviously, people have been talking about this game is the fact that Sean Payton's dome coming. He's back in town. First time since he left to go to the – well, he retired from the Saints initially, then finally took that job with the Denver Broncos last year. And now this is the first time he gets to come back to New Orleans. And everyone's kind of questioned, what's the reception going to be like for Sean? Is it going to be, you know, appreciative and, you know, give him a clap? Or is it going to – you're going to get the booze raining down from the dome and just pretty much – the unwelcome to Sean for ended up leaving the New Orleans Saints. And Drew Brees was asked about that on Sports Talk this week. And here's what Drew said about how fans should be treating it.
The minute that man walks in the dome, everybody celebrates him. Hey, Sean, we love you. Thanks for everything that you've done for this organization, blah, blah, blah. And in the minute that that game starts, man, we're trying to kick your ass.
I totally agree with that. That's how you should do it. You come in, the initial introduction, yay, thank you, Sean. We appreciate all your years of service, bringing the Super Bowl to the city, helping us be part of that rebuilding after Hurricane Katrina, all the good feels. But once that game kicks off, the ball snapped and boom, we're in action, forget about it.
Yeah, it's a weird situation because in most cases a coach leaves, he's fired, and there's going to be kind of awkwardness because that guy's mad because he got fired or the fans are, you know, discontented with how handled things or whatever. In this case, it's like, he just kind of left and, on his terms, so he can't be mad about it. But, yeah, I'm curious how the fans are going to treat it in terms of, hey, are you going to boo? Are you going to cheer? Are you going to do whatever? And then I'm curious how the Saints, game ops is going to treat it. Like, are they going to flash up a graphic? I think they probably should to say thank you. Like, I don't think they're going to do a full tribute video.
Like a video montage, not call for it.
And I think they actually should not, personally, but they might. Who knows? Either way, I want to get that done, like, before the anthem. Right? Because I want to get that energy out of the way before the game starts. Like, it can't be like halftime or, you know, after the first quarter and before the second quarter, right? Like, I don't think, you know, to a certain extent, I think that could mess with Sean's energy. So I don't think there's any harm in doing it that way. Like, you're a coach. You're kind of locked in. I think he talked about this earlier in the week. Like, and Peyton Manning had this experience when he went back to Indy and they played the tribute video, like, right before kickoff, and it, like, messed with him because he was, like, in the zone to try to, you know, lock in, and instead it's like, I'm happy and I don't want to be anyway. So we'll see. It's going to be interesting. And, you know, the fascinating thing is, like, okay, so it's not just Sean. There's about a dozen players on the Broncos roster. We already mentioned Will Lutz, but I mean, you're talking receivers, you're talking linebackers.
Tight ends,
right? Michael Burton's over there. Remember Michael Burton, fullback. Little Jordan Humphrey, Adam Trautman, Lucas Kroll, like a lot of these guys. So maybe they want to stick it to like the tight ends. These guys have combined for 5 catches all season, right? So if Adam Trautman goes out there and has like a 6th catch day with a touchdown, like 90 yards, like that is very much a revenge game. You know, there's really nothing I expect from Sean. Although, you know, we talked to Darren Rizzi early in the week, and, you know, he says you should thank him because there will be no ambush-style punts for this
game.
Right,
we know that won't be happening.
Because he made sure that's no longer a thing. You have to announce before you kick an onside kick now because of the new kickoff rule. But I wouldn't be surprised at all, one iota, to see Sean try to steal a possession somewhere. Or, you know, maybe they have a trick play that's been kicking around that they haven't wanted to put on tape, but maybe this is the game you break it out in, right? That they've been practicing it, they've been working on it, they feel like it's going to work, and they're saving it for the right moment. You know, maybe this is the right moment. So I think you have to be on alert for that. Like, you have to be on alert for fakes, you have to be on alert for whatever, because we know Sean likes to get aggressive on special teams and on fourth downs and situations like that. So I would be stunned if you don't have at least one situation like that where he tries to steal a possession or, you know, you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, Peyton was talked about this week. Is it going to be harder to block out the noise heading back into this matchup because of the time he got to spend here in New Orleans? And here's what he had to say. That's clip number 3, Cullen.
I think on a short week, you're forced to. Like, in other words, there just isn't enough time in the day. And I'm sure there'll be some emotions at some point. But more importantly, it's about our team. And, you know, because really, we go to stadiums with players that, man, this means something to me. I used to be a Chief or Charger, Raider or Eagle, you know, and to that individual, having spent time there, that matters. But I think because of the week and because of the schedule, and I haven't really had a chance to, I mean, I get it. But what's most important is finding a way to win.
Finding a way to win. That's what the Saints are definitely trying to do. But it's a good point with Sean there. It's like it kind of benefits from the short week. I don't have time to think about all the warm fuzzies, as you put it, going into this game, the place where you began your head coaching career and obviously had great success bringing a Super Bowl to the city. And during a time that, to me, stands out the most, obviously, that rebuilding of the New Orleans after a hurricane and what the team meant for a group of people that were just hurting so badly after being ravaged.
See, here's the thing, though. Like, I feel like the Saints are the team that benefits more from this being on a short week, and I'll tell you why. Because Sean can say all the nice things he wants.
Yeah.
Sean wants to come in here and embarrass the Saints.
Oh, sure.
Like, he wants to. And if you gave him – so put it in the situation of, like, hey, the Bucs came in here on 10 days rest. The Saints were on a short week, right? The Saints should be thanking their lucky stars that was not the Broncos a week earlier with 10 days rest and 10 days for Sean to come up with the game plan that's going to twist the knife as much as possible. He can't really do that on 3 days, right? There's only so much you can install. I think it's more so just like, hey, we're going to run the stuff that we know. We're going to run the stuff we're confident in. And, you know, we're going to see how things play out. And, you know, I think that's more beneficial to the Saints than it is the Broncos.
We are taking a break here on First Take. It's brought to you by Caesars Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the Saints. Want to hear from you. What you up to today? Who dat's 504-260-1870. Sound off. We'll be right back after this. Stay tuned here on WWL. Welcome on in. Back to First Take. Steve Geller and Jeff Nowak. We are inside the Caesars Superdome as we anxiously await the 7:15 kickoff between the Denver Broncos and New Orleans Saints. You're not?
I am anxious.
Oh, okay.
You're correct.
Yeah, this has been one, obviously, when the schedule came out, I think everybody kind of honed in on this matchup, obviously, because of Sean Payton being the head coach of Denver and coming back to New Orleans the first time.
When's the last time we had a night game in the Dome? I'm trying to remember. Feels like it's been a long time.
Yeah, I'm trying
to
think, too.
Because Monday night last year was out in Carolina. Then we had Thursday in L.A. I'd have to go back and check, but we haven't had a primetime game here in a while, it feels like. So it'll be cool. You know, I'm still kind of like, these 3 o'clock pregame shows are always kind of tough to adjust to, because I'm kind of sitting around all day like waiting, because I don't want to forget and then be like, oh no, I gotta get out of here.
I know, kind of waking up and getting here for 8 a.m. it just
It starts the day, and then you get the game in, you watch the night game. But yeah, we'll see. I hope the crowd is hot. I think the crowd will be hot, you know, and I think they'll be a little frustrated if things start the way they did last week. And that's the thing. Like, you watch these games, and that's the frustration, is you get behind in every game, and you're constantly trying to push the boulder up a hill. At least the last few weeks, right? At least since week four, it feels like that's just been the theme, is you're playing from behind all game long. That's what happened against the Falcons, what happened against the Chiefs, what happened against the Bucks. And, you know, against the Bucks, they came all the way back, and then, you know, the fourth quarter happened. But, you know, it would be nice to see them get off to a hot start. Like, if I win the toss, I'm taking the ball. I'm going down and I'm scoring. They tried to do that against the Chiefs. It didn't work out for them. But I want to get on the board first. I want to play from in front. I want to play a game on my terms. Like, that's been the frustrating thing more so than anything else, is you're playing games on the other team's terms. You're not playing games on your terms. They're not. You're not forcing them out of their comfort zone. You're getting out of your comfort zone. You're abandoning your script to play on their script. And I want the opposite to happen. I want the Saints to do what the Broncos did to the Bucs in week three? 26-7 game, like the only game that the Broncos offense looked capable.
Came alive, right.
So, yeah, we'll see how it goes. But, man, that would make things a lot easier if you're playing this game from ahead.
Checking in on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk-in text line here on First Take. It's 504-260-1870 if you want to chime in. I know we got Jimmy from Gretna on the line. Jimmy, you ready for tonight's game, man?
Yes, and I'm going to the game. I just got out of the about 45 minutes ago, the Drew Brees induction ceremony. It was great. I was all dressed up. I combed my hair. I put the Axe body spray on, put the tie on. I was sitting next to a bunch of former players. Sean Payton did show up for a very brief moment. Between the food and Drew Brees showing up, he got on the microphone and said, "Look, Drew Brees, I love you." Kind of paid a quick homage to Drew Brees, and he said, "Look, I got to go." The crowd broke out into a hoo-dah chant. Sean Payton ran out the side door and was gone. He had to focus back in on the game. But it was really awesome. Saw a lot of former players. Garrett Hartley, Vilma was there, Pierre Thomas, Lance Moore. Man, they had so many players there. I can't even remember them all. But one thing that stuck out to me was Drew Brees was kind of going over stories, you know, how bad things were after Katrina, and just stories I've never heard before. We've all heard certain stories, driving around the Ninth Ward and stuff like that. But it was really cool, and he's going to be there at halftime doing that chant. I don't know how many I can't even do that chant when I'm sober. I don't know how many drunk fans are going to be able to do that whole chant when they're like 15 beers deep. But I want to say one thing about Spencer Rattler. You know, I'm a big fan of his. I thought he played really well in the first game, and considering the offensive line is basically practice squad level talent, a lot of them, the wide receiver room is totally depleted. You know, we have injuries. Taysom Hill, everybody around him on offense is hurt, and he's a rookie. We have to be patient with this guy. We cannot. I mean, it's great that he's getting experience. He's going up against another rookie quarterback tonight. Like Jeff said, I'm confident tonight. We're at home. We can win this game. But I want the fans to realize we have to be patient, because Spencer Rattler is a hell of a talent. But he's also dealing with – he's going to be on the run, because that offensive line is what it is. And, you know, the wide receiving core is depleted. So we have to be patient with Rattler. We can't – I know some people are like, he didn't play that great. I thought he played really well. I think he throws a really good ball, and I thought he played a great first half last week. I want to get your take on that.
Appreciate you, Jimmy, and definitely looking forward seeing you at the Dome as well with all the hoodads getting ready for this game. For me, I think we're going to have Obviously a tight game here. I'm surprised, actually, though, Denver comes into this matchup favored by 3 points.
I mean, look at the injury report. I'm not surprised. You talk about a team
just considering their scoring, not being able to, you know, score points has been a knock on this Broncos team early on.
You're coming off a loss where you allowed 51 points, and your entire offense is on IR. It feels like so. I can't. I mean, if you're a better, I mean, that's all the line is. It's who. Okay, where's the money? The money's going on the Broncos, which is not surprising to me. I agree with Spencer. The problem is, like, you got to go win this game. I think you can. Now, you're going to have to manage the blitz. That's going to be the key. And I don't think, you know, Spencer, I thought, played well in the first half. They got him outside the pocket. They rolled out. You know, they got him on the run, and he was comfortable in that setting, and you were able to get things done. The Bucs kind of took that away. They sent a lot of pressure from the edges. You know, they sent a lot of green dog pressure where, you know, Deuce has talked about this on the broadcast. Like, you have an assignment in coverage. That guy stays in a block, so you blitz, right, and you add that pressure. And they were able to do that. I think, according to Pro Football Focus, he was blitzed on 22 dropbacks. His numbers when he was blitzed were not particularly good. So you're talking about 6 for 18 for 39 yards. His touchdown came on a blitz.
Okay.
But then he also did his interception, that first interception, I believe, and then he was sacked 3 times on blitzes. So, you know, you got to be better in those scenarios. And if you can, great. If you can't, this is going to be a long day because Vance Joseph is going to blitz you. He's going to send pressure. They send pressure at the highest rate in the NFL. They're second in sacks. They're second in QB pressures. They're third, I think, in QB knockdowns. So, you know, Rattler's going to handle that. And, you know, we saw, you know, I think there weren't as many adjustments in that game last week that you may have had if you had Derek Carr in there, just because, you know, you kind of have those built-in, you know, ideas of how you're going to handle certain things. And I think you're kind of learning everything for the first time with a young quarterback. What does he do well? What does he handle well? How does he react to certain situations? And that's the situation we're always going to be in because you're going to a rookie. Right. And, you know, it could go badly, you know, and you kind of got to live with that and understand that that's, you know, when you put a rookie in a bad situation, you set yourself up to fail. But hopefully he can do better.
Here's what Spencer Rattler had to say about what he would like to correct from game one going into this matchup.
You know, just chilling a little bit in the pocket, you know, don't try to extend too much when not needed. Listen to your feet. And then just maintaining elite focus every single rep throughout the game, no matter the score. You know, take completions and move the chains.
Makes sense. Totally there.
Yeah, and I think that's been something we've seen throughout camp. You know, one of my criticisms is, you know, at a certain point you need to kind of maintain the pocket and extend within the pocket. And it seemed like during camp, during the preseason, and a little bit last week, you saw him just try to, you know, get flustered and feel pressure when it wasn't really there and try to scramble a little too early. And those are moments where you probably need to see him be a little more patient and allow things to develop, keep your eyes downfield. And, you know, especially on a day where I don't know how much early separation you're going to get with the receiving core you have, which I don't know if we talked about it. So you're talking Bub Means, Mason Tipton, and Cedric Wilson, right? You called up Equanimeous St. Brown, Jermaine Jackson's there as well. Not exactly a lot of recognizable names in that group. I think Bub Means is going to have a really strong day. I have a good feeling about him. I don't know how the other guys are going to handle it. We haven't really seen Mason Tipton take advantage of that opportunity yet.
Hopefully an uptick for Juwan Johnson, maybe at tight end.
Yeah, I think, you know, last week was encouraging in the sense that you got the tight ends more involved. You know, there was only five targets, but 5 catches. They were your 2 leading receivers in the game. Juwan had another long catch that was wiped out on a penalty. So, you know, getting those guys involved is going to be important. You know, we talk a lot about the receivers, but these guys can catch passes too. It's part of the deal. Now, how much can you get them out into the pass game with all the pressure and trying to keep them to keep Spencer alive? I don't know, but you're right. That's going to be a big part of the game.
Another offensive weapon potentially back, but we'll get to that after the break. So stay tuned right after this on WWL's First Take. Be right back. We're back here on First Take as we get ready to send things to the Bud Light Countdown, the kickoff, which will be coming up at 5 o'clock. The big news, though, heading into this matchup now for Thursday Night Football, Adam Schefter reporting that Rashid Shaheed's season is over, will be put on season-ending injury reserve after dealing with a torn meniscus, that they are going under surgery today, out 4 to 6 months recovery time. Best wishes to Rashid Shaheed, but the Saints offense will be without him for the rest of this season and obviously tonight. Welcome on into the second hour of First Take. We are in the Caesar Superdome getting ready for Thursday Night Football between the Saints and the Denver Broncos, Sean Payton's return to the Dome. And Cullen mentioned to us, Jeff, that we were wondering the last primetime game that we were in the Caesar Superdome. And
I remember
it was
now.
Last year against the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, and that game. Hopefully, this game doesn't go like that game.
Oh no!
Maybe Foster Moreau, redemption game. How about that? That's the arc I'm going to go with.
Definitely. What'll be interesting too tonight, we saw the Denver Broncos elevating two familiar names from their practice squad to the active roster.
Yeah, well, Quan Alexander and yes. Calvin Throckmorton.
I don't even know
if they need those guys. I think he just elevated them
just because he can.
They're not going to be on the active roster. They're going to be the two inactive players. Good for those guys. Keep them busy.
Looking at this game, the Denver Broncos coming into town with a three-point advantage, according to odds makers. And you pointed out, obviously, the Saints dealing with a slew of injuries from the offensive line, wide receivers, their starting quarterback. Doesn't make the most folks hopeful in this game going into the matchup against the Broncos. The good thing is, at least the Broncos aren't this offensive juggernaut that's been putting up points this year. They also have a rookie quarterback who has struggled at times, but obviously has been learning along the way.
Yeah, no, Bo Nix is Bo Nix. You know, it's funny because I've watched him play for, three different colleges. I remember watching him at Auburn, and I was like, that doesn't look like an NFL quarterback. And then I remember watching him at Oregon, and I was like, well, now he looks like an NFL quarterback, but I'm still not convinced. Now I've been watching him in Denver, and I'm like, he is an NFL quarterback, but I'm not convinced. So we'll see. You know, I think the way they use Bo on the move, kind of the same way the Saints are going to try to get Spencer Rattler on the move. You know, when you have a young quarterback, you try to get him comfortable, and I think that's how they're going to do it. I think they're going to try to give him the ball on the run, let him use his feet. And the Saints haven't handled quarterback runs particularly well. You know, and I go back to last year.
Right.
It hasn't really been a huge issue this year. You've seen the Saints struggle to get quarterbacks to the ground, but it hasn't been QB runs, you know? So we'll see how they handle that. The nice thing is you look at the Saints team, and they are not banged up on the defensive line, right? They are not banged up in the secondary. I mean, obviously you don't have Will Harris, but you have your top four corners. They're all active. You have Tyrann Mathieu. He's back after dealing with that kind of weird forearm injury last week. We'll see how they handle the safety position with Jonathan Abram and Jordan Howden. Kool-Aid is there. So you should feel confident in your defense, right? Like, we talk about all these injuries and how it's going to impact this game. It should not be the reason you struggle on defense. You should be able to lean on that group, and that's why it's been – you know, very, very frustrating to watch this defense not be the strength of your team. Because there's no excuse for it not to be. And obviously you don't have Pete Werner, but you know, it's the NFL. You're not going to have all 11 starters every week, right? So we'll see how that goes. But, no, I need them to kind of come out and wake up a little bit and be like, no, this is kind of this fever dream of we forgot how to play football is over, and we're gonna show the Broncos, we're going to show Sean Payton that we know his offense. We know what to do against his offense. They've been practicing against it. These guys haven't been practicing against it, but the Saints' defense in general, you know, the royal we have been practicing against it for 17 years. So they know what this offense likes to do. And they need to take advantage of that. DeMario Davis spent years working against this Sean Payton scheme in practice. Okay, take advantage of that. Obviously, it's different players. It's going to run a little differently with Bo Nix. But, you know, that should be an advantage for the Saints. It's just a matter of whether they can actually make that a reality.
Looking at things with this Saints defense going up against now a quarterback that's a little bit mobile in a Bo Nix we've mentioned. DeMario Davis, though, talked about this week, how easy is it for this team to clean up tackling? One, it's a short week, obviously, and just to even get to that in in-season mode at practice, DeMario was asked about that, and here's what he had to say.
I think you got to find a way to be consistent, doing all things well, not just tackling. You know, I think defensively it'll always come down to how well can you stop the run, how well can you get off the field on third down, and how can you be clean in the red zone and take the ball away. And I think we're doing a good job of taking the ball away, but we're not being as consistent in stopping the run, situational football. And so we got to find a way to do it. We've done it well at certain times. We've stopped the run extremely well, and when we do that, we have a ton of success. We've got off the field on third down. We've had very good red zone percentages at times. I think it's just finding a way to be that consistent team all the time. I think that's why our process has to be around, the high level of focus.
consistency definitely hasn't been there. I mean, that's obvious.
Yeah, and if last week didn't exist, I would look at this Broncos roster and be like, okay, no one scares me. But, you know, who's their Sean Tucker, right? Who's their player that I have no idea? Like, he could have been starring in Rush Hour a year ago, and now it's, oh, no, that's a different guy. This isn't Friday. This is Sunday. But, man, Javonte Williams, 59 carries, 213 yards. He's averaging 3.6 yards per carry. His long run is 17. He has two fumbles, lost them both. Can you guess who the second leading rusher on the Broncos is?
Bo Nix.
It's Bo Nix.
Yes, I did look at that.
He's 180 yards on 37 carries, 4.9 average. His long is 23. Jaleel McLaughlin, 36 carries, 116 yards, 3.2 yard average. So, I mean, there's no one there that you should not be able to stop. But I would have said that against the Chiefs. I would have said that against the Bucks. They're without their top rusher. Now, the Broncos have their top rusher. He's just not particularly good.
Right.
Okay? So, can you take advantage of that, right? I'm tired of pointing to things that's like, oh, the Saints should have an advantage here. The Saints should have an advantage here. And then it does not end up being an advantage. Like, you got to actually take advantage of the things that should be on your side. And so, you know, if you can stop the run, if you can force Bo Nix to have to beat you from the pocket, I don't believe that he can do that. I genuinely don't. If you're sitting there in third and two, third and three, 10-play drives where you're just hoping to hold up in the red zone, which the Saints have been pretty good. They kind of came back down to earth last week against the Bucs, but they were the number one red zone defense going into that game. I'd have to double-check to see where they are now. But, you know, those, you got to get off the field. Force punts, man. Get off, like, three and outs are not a thing that this Saints team – when do we ever say the term three and out when we watch a Saints game? It feels like it's, like, at best, eight and out. And you get third and two, and they're running for it on fourth down. And, you know, take advantage of the situations that are on your side, right? Instead of second and seven because you missed a tackle in the backfield, make that a second and 13 so that you can get off the field. And, you know, if you can be better at that, if you can force more punts, if you can keep your defense from losing the time of possession by 20 minutes so they're gassed at the end of the game, I think you win. If you can't do that, then I think the Broncos win. I do think it is that simple.
Getting into a little bit of the Denver Broncos defense, Spencer Rattler this week talked about having to face that unit.
Really good front. They're going to show us a lot of coverages and blitzes on third down specifically. So we have to have a good plan and just be dialed in into the little details. It all comes down to the little details.
Those details for sure. And Jeff, I know you asked Rattler about the quality of cornerback play now in the NFL and adjusting to that compared to college. Here's what he said.
Everybody's good at this level. You know, the funny thing is, not funny, but same dude that was at Georgia last year picked me off in this game. So I was seeing a lot of talent, obviously, in the SEC, but this is the NFL. You know, these guys are good at every position. So you have to respect that, but also attack them. You know, you can't play scared. So we're not playing scared.
I like that clip from him saying, we're not playing scared.
Yeah, you know, I've come around on Spencer Rattler press conferences. At the beginning,
short
I was like,
point.
I was like, hey, he doesn't say a lot. But then now I'm getting to the point of like, man, he answers the question. It only takes 30 seconds and you move on.
And boom, I got a perfect soundbite.
yeah, and you can play it. And we played two clips in the span of a minute. But no, I did appreciate that answer. And so Tyke Smith is the defensive back that picked him off at Georgia last year. Or he was at Georgia when Spencer was at South Carolina, and he did it again in that game. And yeah, I think that is something that, you know, Bo Nix has had to figure it out. Caleb Williams has had to figure it out. All these rookie quarterbacks that I mean, with Jaden Daniels being the exception because apparently he came into the league ready to dominate. I don't know. But, you know, I think that is a kind of a learning experience of, hey, I might have got away with this in college, but the windows are a lot smaller in the NFL. These are – every DB I face was the best defensive back in their conference.
Yes, exactly.
Right? Like, these are the stars in college. You're not taking advantage of them the way that you were taking advantage of in college. I think that interception to Rashid Shaheed is a good example of that. Like, you know, that's a ball that, yeah, you could say it's underthrown, but, you know, it would have hit Rashid in the hands. It was underthrown because there was a defensive back there, and you needed to lead Rashid away from him to complete it. You know, in college, I don't think that DB's making that play. Zion McCollum made an incredible kind of leaping grab where now we'll say, yeah, it was underthrown because it got intercepted. If Zion doesn't make that play, then it hits Rashid in the hands. He's running, maybe scores a touchdown. So that's kind of the difference. And that's why when you turn to a rookie, those are the type of things that you have to kind of accept and say, okay, you made the mistake. Don't make it again. Right? But you have to make the mistake for the first time to realize what you don't know what you don't know. So that's why this week, I think, you know, we can react to that first half that Spencer had, and I thought he was really good. But the answer of, hey, what is Spencer as an NFL quarterback? We're going to get that answer over the next several weeks as you identify, okay, this is what you did wrong, fix it. You know, if you keep making the same mistakes over and over again,
exactly,
that's when
right.
you start to say, hey, I don't know if you can hack it. But we don't know what we don't know until he goes out there this week and improves on the things that he didn't do well last week. If we see the same issues week after week after week after week, that's your answer.
There is no Chris Olave today. We know he's yep. going through the concussion protocols still. Hopefully be ready for next week, obviously, against the Chargers. Rashid Shaheed today being put on injured reserve. Reports are it's going to be 4 to 6 weeks, so his season.
4 to 6 months.
4 to 6 months, sorry, yes. Not
that's
weeks.
A big difference.
Yeah, right. He would be able to come back this season then if it was just weeks. But, yeah, definitely, obviously, disappointing there for this game, too. Your top two targets not around for a guy like Spencer Rattler, but he does have a connection with Bub Means last game that was pretty obvious. And here's what Rattler had to say this week about working with Means.
You know, I've been able to get a lot of reps with Bub since OTAs, you know, obviously coming in, same draft class, both rookies. He's really elevated in practice just with little things like blocking. You see him just flash on film to get a backside block on a backside safety, which is not an easy thing to do. And he's such a smart football IQ guy, like knows his job, knows the details, and is going to give full effort, you know, all the time. So to be able to see that, you know, another fellow rookie is good to see, and I trust Bub.
Love to hear a lot of those words there from Spencer talking about the wide receiver, obviously willing to block, smart, and then, you know, willing to learn and work with him, and just loves the energy there. Seems like a nice connection brewing, and I know you mentioned, I think it was on the podcast, the fact that you're picking him up in fantasy football for sure.
Oh, I did, and I'm starting him because I don't know where else you're going to go. You know, and that's the thing. Like, you have a quarterback who trusts that receiver.
Exactly.
He's going to throw to that receiver.
You know, there's a connection.
And one of the things about Bub that I think is unique in the Saints wide receiver room is, you know, he's a rookie, but he's not built like a rookie. Like, you look at him, he's like, that's a guy who's physically prepared to play in the NFL. He's yoked, I think would be the word you would want to use. He's a big dude. And I appreciate his approach to the game, too. Like, I was talking to him about that. The catch I appreciated in that game the most, he only had five, but they were all big catches. And the one I appreciated was third down. Spencer broke the pocket. He's rolling to the right side of the field. Bub kind of identifies that his quarterback is in trouble, breaks off his route, finds space, catches the ball, toe tap, first down, keep a drive alive. That was not the play. That's not how it was designed. The receiver made himself available for the quarterback. The quarterback knew he was going to do that, found him, first down. It's the type of play that you're like, wow, great offense. Not really. The offense didn't work. The quarterback and the receiver and the chemistry, that's what worked. And when you talk about guys like Pat Mahomes and Travis Kelce, right? Like, what do they do better than everybody else? It's that secondary route. It's that, hey, the play broke down, but I'm going to extend and I trust you to get open. And I think that type of appreciation for each other is something that you can't really teach. You got to build it.
Yeah, for sure.
And I was asking Bub about that, and I thought his like answer, even like, they practice that kind of stuff. It's not random. Like, he knows, hey, my quarterback is scrambling to the right, I need to go a certain way so that I can give him an angle to deliver the ball. And you know, if you can do that a few times throughout a game and you can extend drives that would otherwise be dead because the play didn't work, you know, that's how you can have success off schedule. And I don't think the Saints offense has been particularly good off schedule in the Derek Carr era. I think it's either the offense works or it doesn't. So I think that's what Spencer can do that some of these other quarterbacks probably can't do as well, is, you know, create something out of nothing. And when you don't have stars, you're going to have to know how to do that.
Yeah, the main star, obviously, at least he is healthy enough to play. I won't say healthy. Is Alvin Kamara, obviously, yeah, your main stud there. But I feel like, man, it's like his third or fourth different injury I've seen from him this season.
Well, I don't think he's got a new injury. I think he's still dealing with the hand that he was dealing with the week before.
I thought something else was listed.
I don't believe so, but I could be wrong. He was dealing with a hip. He was dealing with a rib. He was dealing with a hand. He's playing through it. You know, he did have a couple drops last week. You have to wonder.
It is still just the hand now.
Right. They took away everything else, but it's not like those things don't still hurt.
Right.
Right. Like, the rib didn't miraculously heal. But, you know, you saw a guy with a couple drops last week. You have to wonder if maybe that hand injury played into that. Maybe Spencer needs to stop throwing it quite as hard.
Right.
Not doing him any favors. But, no, you got to get Alvin involved. Kendre Miller, I want to see him have an impact on this game. We'll see if he's active. I hope he's active.
It's a big X factor, I think.
Would be very frustrated if he wasn't active.
For sure.
But we'll see.
Taking a break. We want to hear from you on the Oaken Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line, 504-260-1870. We were talking about Bub Means. We'll hear some of what he had to say leading up to Thursday Night Football against those Denver Broncos right after this when we come back on First Take on WWL. Back here on First Take on WWL as we get ready for the Bud Light Countdown, the kickoff coming up at 5 o'clock and then game time in the Caesars Superdome for Thursday Night Football. Saints hosting Denver 7:15. Jeff will be on the sidelines and Deuce and Haas on the call. call with the game, and I think we're getting spoiled with some of the predictions Deuce has made in games, and then they end up coming true right away. I think you need to take him to the casino or whatever and just have him point at numbers or something.
I don't know. I think it's very football related. I don't know if he would.
All right, well, taking him to the sports book then.
I don't know if he would have the same effect at like a roulette table or, you know, whatever you want to. But, yeah. Like,
what if he starts calling on? He's like, oh, you know, 23 black.
Yeah. If he could do that, then he would probably not be working for us, put it that way. Yeah, he would be on a yacht somewhere.
Deustradamus.
Deustradamus. But, no, yeah, I'm excited. I think this is going to be a good day. I'm feeling good about it.
Glad you're feeling good. I know a guy that's feeling good, too. We were talking about Bub Means, the wide receiver for the Saints. He's been elevated through the ranks now, obviously, with Chris Olave out, Rashid Shaheed out. Bub Means getting some work last week with Spencer Rattler. And what are his thoughts on the rookie quarterback?
I'm very excited to see what Spencer's going to do in the coming games, coming years, however his career goes. Like, he's going to be elite at what he does. And I still have high praise for Spence. I have high praise for all our quarterbacks, but Spence, for sure, like he out there making plays. We've been making plays all rookie minicamp, OTAs, training camp. Like, so I don't expect nothing else but greatness from him.
Obviously, this team right now, too, dealing with the injuries, the losing skid. Sean Payton is in town. What does Bub Means think this the magnitude of this game is?
I feel like every game is a big game. I hate losing. I want to win every game, every snap, every down. I want to win every one-on-one, so like every game, I don't treat no game bigger than the other. We take every opponent as serious as the next, you feel what I'm saying? Like, we're going in here to execute and win every time, like any other game.
And yeah, that win is so needed right now because the bleeding is becoming profuse.
yeah, you need a triage unit. But now, yeah, Bub's a funny guy. And if I had to pick a word to describe his personality, it would be effervescent. I would say bubbly, but that would just be a little too on the nose. No, he's a fun guy to root for. He's a fun guy to talk to, and so I hope he has a big game so people can start to kind of learn a little bit more about him as a player. Because I think, you know, you see a guy coming out of Pitt, it's not a pretty prolific offense,
right.
So the numbers aren't going to be astounding. But, you know, he did a little bit of everything in that offense, and he's going to be a guy who can kind of ward off defenders. So even in a tight window, you can throw it to him and trust that he's going to battle for the ball and most often come down with it, you know. And that's the type of stuff we would say about Mike Thomas. Right? And that's how he was able to have an impact as a rookie receiver. Now, this is a different offense than Mike started. It's obviously a different quarterback than Mike was catching passes from. But, you know, the Saints haven't had a receiver like that for a while. And when you don't have the high-end weaponry of the offense like you have in the past, sometimes you just got to run a stick route and throw the ball to the guy and catch it and take a hit, right? Sometimes that's how you got to move the ball. And I think he's going to be able to do that for you.
Talking about these wide receivers, I think we mentioned this too a little in the podcast. Thinking Bub Means, obviously, is your X. But
yeah.
After that, who's going to be the Y and the Z in this offense right now?
Yeah, I mean, I'm interested to see if Equanimeous St. Brown factors in.
Yeah.
You know, the last time we saw him in a Saints uniform, he was catching a dime from Spencer Rattler in the preseason finale. So they have a bit of a connection. He's a guy who can work downfield. He's played in a ton of football games. So, you know, we'll see how much of his role that you have. But I would expect Mason Tipton to be that kind of Z. We'll see if maybe Jermaine Jackson can factor in the slot, you know, who runs out of the slot most often. I'm not sure that's going to be, but I expect you're going to have a lot of heavy personnel. I think this will be another kind of 21-22 day where you don't get – typically you're seeing two wide receivers on the field a majority of the time. But, hey, we haven't really talked about it. You got to run the ball too.
Right.
You know, we can talk about, oh, the receivers aren't there. Well, you know, the best-case scenario is you are not relying on your receivers because you are running the ball for the first down. And that's what we saw weeks 1 and 2. Why was this team dominating? Because he was running the ball. Because Alvin Kamara was dominating. The offensive line was getting pushed. And it was, you know, you were winning the line of scrimmage. The last 4 weeks, no. And that has not been the case.
And obviously a guy like Taysom Hill not in the mix, so there's that big physical presence that's not there. Good news, though, at least offensively, we talk injuries. A guy that is expected, I'll say, to be back in the lineup is Kendra Miller. We haven't seen him since last season in action on the field. Obviously got hurt early on in training camp that first day with a hamstring issue, just been lingering. This nagging hamstring has continued on. The past two games just wasn't ready to go. You're gotta hope at this point, though, the Saints are in desperate need of any kind of boost, and I think Kendra could provide something for you. I'm not saying, you know, you're going to give him a boatload of carries, but I'm hoping at least 5 to 7 touches.
Yeah, to me, I don't think it's a physical issue with Kendre. I think he's healthy. I think he's
just
ready to go.
Offense.
Just a question of whether they trust him and how much they trust him and what they trust him to do, right? Do you trust him in pass protection? Because if you don't, it's not going to be out there in pass protection. I feel like we had this I probably could have gone back and just clipped what I said about him last week, because at that point, I assumed he would be active. Him being inactive last week was a surprise to me, because you'd think, hey, you got about a week plus to learn the offense. You should be good to go. If you don't trust him this week, then I don't know when you'll trust him. At least to the extent that you know, I think Jamal Williams got 3 offensive snaps last week.
Right.
So it's not like there's anyone out there that's really contending for that job. That should be your 3rd-round pick from last year, who you saw with some burst, right? Last year, the Saints running backs had 2 plays of 30-plus yards from scrimmage throughout the entire season. Kendre had both of them. One was against the Patriots. One was against the Bears. He got hurt on that play. In Week 18, he went out there against the Falcons, and he just had, he had juice, right? It was something we hadn't really seen throughout the course of the season in the run game. And so maybe that's the case again today, And he's just – you don't have a lot of dynamic players in this offense.
We mentioned that Sean Payton has elevated Calvin Throckmorton and Quan Alexander for this game. One of the callers on our Open Heart Jewelers talking text line 3398 says, surprised that Petty Payton didn't elevate A.T. Perry for this game. Good point there. Well played, sir.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's there. He'll probably be on the sideline.
I can chat with him a little.
I'm not surprised from a football sense that he didn't elevate A.T. Perry because. Why? Yeah, yeah. I don't think they signed A.T. Perry for his, I think they kind of signed him as a scouter, hey, tell me about Clint's offense, right? What do you know that I can glean in these 10 days or whatever since we signed you? I didn't expect, if he did elevate him, it would be like, as that kind of victory.
We got receivers and you don't.
Like the human victory cigar.
Yeah, right,
like,
exactly.
Hey, A.T. Perry scores a touchdown this game, the Saints will feel really bad about it. But, it's tough because you would like to say, hey, the Saints are down all these wide receivers. Wouldn't A.T. Perry be nice to have? But he wasn't healthy either.
Right.
So, the reason they cut him is because he was hurt and missed several games. He got hurt in practice, I think, twice. So it's not like he was available to be played even if you needed him.
Looking at our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line, Jeff, we have Aaron on the line. Want to talk some black and gold. What you got for us tonight, Aaron?
What's up, man?
I think the Saints, if you look at the roster, we need to go ahead and invest and go ahead and extend Dennis Allen's contract, give Derek Carr $225 million guaranteed 10-year contract, and right now get Colin Kaepernick to come in along with Mike Thomas to get the Saints to go 2-14, so we'll get Arch Manning in 2026. What's your thoughts on that?
I was wondering where you're going with that. There's a lot of ideas there.
not only does he want to, create havoc on the field, but also in the locker room with bringing Mike T back. Obviously, that's one you haven't even seen any team taking a sniff at Mike.
Yeah, it is interesting, and I don't know what the deal is there.
we know.
I do wonder if. So there's a question of I'm sure there's teams out there who might put him on the practice squad, but is he willing to take a practice squad spot, right? And so I don't know. Like Hunter Renfrow is another guy who's kind of just sitting out there, isn't on a practice squad anywhere. And is that a choice of the player, or is that a choice of teams not being willing to give him that opportunity? I would guess it's more about I don't want to be on a practice squad. And you go from there. But now, I mean, we don't need to get into the Colin Kaepernick conversation or the extension conversation. Here's the thing, though. You're at a point now that it's like you can either win some games and get things back on track, and you have 10 days off, and then kind of go to LA and see what you can do there. Maybe shuffle the deck a little bit from a roster perspective with all these injuries and these players are out. Or you can lose a few more games, and then everything feels like it's off the rails. And who knows what happens from that
We're
point on?
We're definitely teetering right now.
Yeah. The ledge is within view. Like you can see it, and you can either drive right off it, or you can swerve and turn the other direction, because we weren't in a dissimilar situation last year when they were down 21-0 at the end of the first quarter against the Lions. I was like, oh no, this thing is over. And then they found a way to kind of steer back to the road, and the season ended at 9-8, and you kind of felt optimism. And that's what you can say about Dennis Allen's tenure, is when you've gotten to those situations, typically they've kind of, you know, they put the snow tires on and they found a way back. You got to do that again.
As we head to break, I want to remind everybody the New Orleans Saints partner with Seaside Events to provide the Saints Nation with the ultimate fan experience. You can mingle with Saints legends during the inaugural Saints Legends Fan Cruise. Check it out online. We're going to take a break. Be right back with First Take after this here on WWL. Back here on First Take for Thursday Night Madness. We've got the Denver Broncos and Sean Payton in town to take on the Saints, who are looking to snap a four-game losing skid. Rookie quarterbacks going at it, dueling against each other. And the Saints, Spencer Rattler, and Denver's Bo Nix. And actually, Sean Payton talked about it this week, was asked about the pre-draft process. Did he get to talk with Spencer Rattler at all before the Broncos went on the clock?
We spent a lot of time with him. I'd say there was five. You know, pro day, and then we had a private workout. We were all in Phoenix, Scottsdale area, where he's from. Steak dinner, the whole nine yards. Test in the morning, throw. He did really well. It's not surprising to see there's a calmness when he plays, you know, and he too has been through, you know, the adversity early on, you know, coming out of high school to Oklahoma and then transferring. But there is a confidence when he's on the field, and you see that in preseason and last week. It's not too big for him, and he's got a live arm. We were really impressed, and not that it matters, but we had him graded higher, and I'm sure the Saints did as well, and it got to a point where he just had to take the grade, but he was impressive.
Yeah, obviously, I think a lot of people thought that Rattler would end up going higher, but for whatever reason, how the draft shook out, he ends up going very late.
Yeah, they got him in the fifth round, and you know, I don't think that's I don't think Sean's just talking there. I do think they were high on Spencer Rattler. The Saints also took a long look at Bo Nix. They had right. Bo Nix in. They talked to him. So you know,
that swagger or the aura, or whatever you want to say, that surrounds Spencer Rattler. It seems like he'd be a Sean Payton guy.
Yeah, he would have fit there. But they obviously had a higher grade on Bo,
right?
Because they took Bo at number 12, and you know, I can't remember who made the joke, but they asked Spencer, it was like, hey, you and Bo Nix were drafted right next to each other.
I think it was Mike Triplett,
yeah,
right?
Because he was the next quarterback off the board. Now, they were about 150 picks apart.
Right, Spencer was probably like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, no, he thought it was funny. But, no, that's why it really doesn't make sense. He's talking about, okay, fifth-round pick, blah, blah, blah. The Saints are clearly viewing Spencer Rattler as a much higher prospect than a fifth-round pick would indicate.
Right.
Right? And so that's why when you talk about him, you don't talk about him like, oh, well, maybe, you know, this isn't like a Brock Purdy situation where they just took a flyer at the end of the draft. Like, they had a high grade on, they went and took him. So we'll see. You know, you kind of went into this season thinking, hey, maybe he gets in there and we can see what we've got long term. And you're getting it this week.
Folks, Venture Global donating $10 per Saints receiving yards to their Catch for the Coast program this season. Venture Global innovating to provide low-cost LNG to the world. Their current donation is at $12,490. Let's boost that digits today in this game against the Broncos. We'll take a break and close out First Take right after this here on WWL.
The minute that man walks in the dome, everybody celebrates him. Hey, Sean, we love you. Thanks for everything that you've done for this organization, blah, blah, blah. And in the minute that game starts, man, we're trying to kick your ass.
Blah, blah, blah. We are back here on First Take getting ready for the Bud Light Countdown to kickoff coming up at 5 o'clock. That was Drew Brees talking about the return of Sean Payton to the Caesars Superdome and what to expect from fans. And he thinks, obviously, you give him the round of applause. Thank you for everything you've done. But after that, no holds barred. Ain't going to let loose on Sean throughout the game.
Yeah, it's that vibe is not going to last very long unless the Saints put up some points. I tell you what, like, yeah, if the Broncos get ahead in this game and it starts to get ugly, the crowd might turn a little bit. So, I think the Saints would do themselves some good to get out early. But no, it's going to be fascinating, and we're getting closer and closer. Sean's getting, you know, he might be in the building now. It's just, you know, 3 minutes.
Yeah, I have to check
hours.
Twitter for, like, you know, the stroll into the stadium they love to do with folks.
Yeah, so man, it's going to be fun. I hope it's a lot more fun for the Saints than it is for the Broncos. Put that way.
Definitely. I know Sean won't recognize some things here either after all the remodeling going on.
Well, that, and I was like, has Sean ever even been in the visitor locker room? I'd be surprised if he has. Does he even know where it is? Is someone going to have to lead him there?
Because right, he'll want to go to the locker room he's accustomed to.
Right, right. And he won't recognize that one either if he went in there. I don't think he will, but he'd be like, what is this place? But no, it is it. Yeah, it is kind of funny. Like, when the last time Sean was here, this building looked a lot different. But, you know, hopefully he doesn't enjoy it. That's what I'm saying.
I know he was part of a lot of influence on Club Dub back in the day, and that whole experience in the Saints locker room has been totally elevated. Unfortunately, obviously, we haven't experienced Club Dub of late.
They got it in week one, and they have not had it since. But, yeah, it would be nice to turn those fancy lights back on, the strobe lights again today.
I was always amazed, like, even on the road, I'm sure you've seen it too, like they bring out the lights and the fog machine, and you're like, what's going on?
They got the whole setup. They know what they're doing. This isn't their first rodeo.
Yeah, definitely not the first rodeo, and we know Sean's not his first rodeo here. Definitely expecting the atmosphere to really be quote-unquote electric. Everyone loves to say that, about the fans and the crowd with the noise and just the energy going on, but I really do feel like the energy is going to be at a pretty high today. You get that that noise meter out on the field for sure.
No question. Everyone's got a towel, so we'll see how they use them.
Well, I want to thank everyone for tuning in to First Take. Coming up next, the founding father of the Houdat Nation, Cajun Cannon Bobby Arable, will be joining us on the Bud Light Countdown to Kickoff. Coming up next, I'm Steve Geller. I'll be sticking with you, and Jeff Nowak heading to the sidelines.
Houdat.
Later, Jeff. There you go. Talk to you soon, folks.